Praise God. Get your Bibles out. We're going to thank God for the Word. And got a word from the Lord for you this morning. It's a timely one for our church. Something that is going to challenge us. So, Father, we thank you this morning for the Word. God, to us, this is not just a history book or a collection of stories or principles or things to consider, but it's your holy Word. And so this morning we ask that you open it up to us by your Holy Spirit this morning. Father, we confess without the Holy Spirit, we can't understand this. We can't apply it to our lives. And so, Holy Spirit, help us to understand, to comprehend, and to apply the Word to our daily living. We ask it in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. Well, we've been talking about repentance for 3 weeks, and Andrea's word is so timely this morning to consider who's on the throne of our hearts every day. Amen. Now, it's something that all of us need to do because it's so easy for us to walk away from our commitment to Jesus and to put ourselves on the throne of our hearts once again, amen, and be in charge. I don't know about you, but I've been serving the Lord for a long time, amen, since I was a young man, and still there is a struggle to keep Jesus on the throne, amen, to let him be number one, to let him be in charge. And I'm so grateful for the mechanism of repentance that when we mess up, and we all mess up, we can come to him and say, Lord, I messed up. And you know what? He doesn't judge us. He doesn't get mad. He doesn't say, well, that's it. That's the last time. That was your last mess up. He says, I forgive you and I restore you and I'm going to fix what's broken in you. Someone say amen this morning. As we've talked about repentance, and the scripture in Revelation 2 talked about remembering where we've fallen from, repenting. And then last week we talked about doing our first works. And we said that some of us need to repent of sin and forsake sin again. Some of us maybe need to get in the waters of baptism again. Some of us need to do the things we did when we first fell in love with Jesus. And this morning I want to share with you on a topic that's it's relevant to us because it's what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do next. And that topic is water baptism. Water baptism is one of the first works. It's the first thing you do when you receive Christ. And so I want to preach to you this morning a message on water baptism. Now, we have over 60 people, I think, signed up for water baptism already. That is incredible. Amen. To God be the glory. So we are looking at different venues, different places to do a mass water baptism. And I want to preach this message because there's been over 100 people, if you count who got saved at our play, there's been over 200 people saved within the last year. And so there's a lot of folks that need to be baptized in water. And if you're one of them today, maybe you did get baptized in water and your walk has drifted away and you walked away from God and now you're back, you're committed to him. You might want to do your first work over again and get baptized in water. So this message is relevant. It's for us right now. And I want to talk to you this morning about water baptism. I'm going to give you the theology. I'm going to give you the application. Whatever you thought you knew about it, you're going to learn something this morning. So be encouraged. Every Christian group has its own opinions and preferences on water baptism. Do you know that? We all do it different ways. In fact, the methodology is different in every church that you go to. Now, as long as we're scriptural in what we do, it's fine. But the methods are different. And listen to me. Thank God that we are not all exactly the same in every way. Someone say amen. Isn't it nice that there are different flavors of ice cream? Come on, I'm talking to you now. Ice cream, man. Imagine if you went to Baskin Robbins and the 31 flavors were vanilla, 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 vanilla. You look inside that glass case, you know, and you know, when you're a kid, you like get your nose frozen to it because you're looking, and every flavor is vanilla. I mean, could you imagine that? That would be horrible. Come on, don't look at me like that. Thank God for Rocky Road. Come on. Oh, no. Thank God for cookie dough, chocolate chip, mint, almond, butter pecan. Come on. You're looking at me like, we're so holy, we've never had ice cream. That is a delicacy of the flesh that we do not partake of, Pastor. Man, thank God for variety. Thank God for different flavors. So it's okay that folks do things differently, amen. We don't need to fight about that or argue about that. Some people say you should baptize by sprinkling with water. Some people say immersion, you should dunk them. Some people say, you know, that we baptize infants, and some people baptize only new converts. And some folks do it in Jesus' name, and some do it in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the nuances, as long as they're scriptural, are fine. We're going to talk about what the Bible Bible says, but I'm not really interested in debating the methodologies this morning. In fact, the most important aspects of water baptism are these. Number one, that we know why we should do it. We need to know why. You know what? Too much of Christianity has become symbolism over substance. Amen. We do a ritual. We do a ceremony. We do something and we don't know why we do it. Amen. And there are churches that it's all about ritual. It's all about ceremony. It's religious. But there's no substance to it because we don't know why we do it. And so it's important that we know why we should be water baptized. It's important that we know what it means to us as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? You and I are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we sung about it this morning, as we sung those beautiful choruses to the Lord, we belong to Him. We've been saved by His blood. We've been changed by His blood. Amen. We are Christians, and it's so important that we know what water baptism means to us as believers. We're going to cover that this morning. It's also very important that we go into the waters of baptism with the right expectations. Amen. See, when we think something's going to happen that the Bible doesn't say is going to happen, like, man, once I get in those waters, I'm going to be perfect and never have any problems and never have any struggles again. See, if you go with the wrong expectations, that leads to disappointment. And the enemy takes disappointment and he makes us disillusioned with it. And then we walk away from our faith. Why? Because we didn't know what the scripture said. And we set ourselves up to be disappointed. Now, to understand water baptism, first of all, we got to say, and I want to just say this, I don't care about the methodology that much. I don't care if you're baptized in a stream, in a lake, in a pond, in a mud puddle. I don't care if they do it with a fire hose, a water pistol, a bucket of water. You say, Pastor, why don't you care about that? The reason I don't care is because none of that really matters if we do it with the right heart, with the right expectation, amen? That's what matters this morning. So I care about what matters, and I hope you do too. To understand what water baptism is, we have to first understand what it is not. You know, and I think that's a great place to start because all of us have theological baggage this morning coming from different backgrounds. And this morning, I want us to understand what water baptism is not by going to the scripture. Number one, water baptism is not salvation. It is not salvation. Salvation is different. Some churches teach that, well, if we dip you in the water and we baptize you into our church, then you're saved. The Bible doesn't teach that. Baptism is not salvation. Some churches teach, well, if we don't baptize you as a baby and you die, you won't go to heaven. That's not scriptural. Water baptism is not salvation. Mark 16:16 says this, and he said to them, Jesus, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Listen to verse 16. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. So listen to me. Belief and water baptism are two separate events. It's the believing in Jesus. It's the receiving Him as our Lord and Savior. It's the repentance of our own personal sin that allows us to be saved. Amen. Then when we're saved, we can be baptized. It says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. But listen, but he who disbelieves shall be condemned. So it's the belief that saves us. You know this. It's basic theology that it's our confession of Christ as Savior and Lord that makes us Christians. We're saved by faith through grace, and it's the way that the scripture teaches. Salvation and conversion are a separate event from water baptism. Romans 10:9-10 says this, our admission of sin and our confession of Christ is what saves us. Listen to Romans 10:9-10. This is my favorite scripture. It says this, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Salvation comes from confessing Jesus as Lord. In fact, in this service this morning, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. And if you take that opportunity, I guarantee your life will be changed from this moment forward. Confessing Jesus is what makes us saved. Being baptized in water doesn't make us saved. A ritual doesn't make us saved. A ceremony or a religious rite does not make us saved. Number two, the second thing water baptism isn't, is it is not the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is a perfectly legitimate event. It's part of the salvation package. But listen to me. Acts 2:38 gives us God's sequence here. Peter said to new converts in the book of Acts, he said this, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's the pattern for the new church. Repent. What does that mean? Confess your sin. Receive Christ. Get saved. Then be baptized in water. And then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues is absolutely for today. It's absolutely part of the salvation package. But it is a different event from water baptism. Now, many times when we baptize people in water, the only prerequisite is that, number one, they're saved, amen? It does no good to baptize people in water who have not accepted Jesus, because then you go into the water a dry sinner and you come out a wet sinner, because it doesn't save you. Confession of Christ saves you, amen? But then when we baptize them in water, then Peter says, what? You can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, theologically, from the moment of regeneration, from the moment you confess Christ, you are filled with a measure of the Holy Spirit. Now, with the evidence of that is evidenced in the speaking of tongues and the fruit that's produced. But listen to me, they are three separate events, and being dunked in the water is not being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a different event. Repent, be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Number three, the third thing water baptism is not. Water baptism is not instant sanctification or holiness. Meaning that when you get, well, you know what, I just need to be holy and perfect and I need to never sin again, so I'm going to get water baptized. And when I come out of that water, I'm going to have no problems and no struggles and I'm going to fly right and do everything right and never sin again. Now, that might sound a little bit far-fetched to some of us, but depending on the background you come from theologically, some people teach that that's exactly what happens when you're baptized, that you're now holy and there's holiness and there's no sin and you never sin again. In fact, if you do sin again, if you have a bad thought or have a wrong action, you need to get saved all over again and re-dunk because it didn't work the first time. And you know what? That's not scriptural. The Bible says that we are to be saved and baptized in water, but it also says that when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father through Christ Jesus, that we confess our sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive our sin. Amen. All of us sin. Can someone say amen to that? Some of us are good at it. Amen. But we don't become sinless until we're delivered from this body of sin. You say, you know that pastor over Full Gospel? What do you know about him? He's a sinner. Saved by grace. That's me. Amen. I don't pretend to be perfect. I'm not giving myself over to sin. I'm not practicing sin. I'm not trying to get better at sin, but we all sin. Amen. The moment I think I don't sin, I'm being proud, and that's a sin. So close. I haven't sinned all day today. There you go. There's your first one. So water baptism is not instant holiness. It's not instant sanctification. Don't expect to come out of the tank and be perfect and be never immune to sin and never have struggles again. Now, listen to me. I'm not telling you that things will not change. Listen to this. Things are going to change. Because water baptism is an opportunity to deal with the old nature, the old pattern, the old man, the old way of doing things. How many realize that when we come to Christ, it's not as an infant, it's not as a little child, it's as a person that has already developed patterns and habits. Come on, say amen. And we bring certain habits and certain patterns. You say, what are they? They are the old nature, the old way of doing things. You say, what happens in the waters of baptism? The old nature is dealt with, that we don't come out perfect and sinless and never to sin again, but we do come out free from the past. We do come out changed. We do come out with a new nature. Amen. That's good news. Not instant holiness, but it definitely is the start of a change. Number four, the fourth thing that water baptism is not, is it's not for infants. Many of us were baptized as infants. I was. I turned out okay. So if you were, don't get scared. But that wasn't for me. When my parents baptized me as an infant, it wasn't for me because I didn't know what was going on. I didn't say yes to it. And I don't even remember it. It was for them. They were saying, we're going to raise this kid as a Christian. We're going to raise him in the church. And it was for them. But baptism is not for infants. You say, why? Because the only prerequisite of water baptism is that we are saved. That we can confess our sin and receive Christ. Now, see, for infants, that is an intellectual impossibility. Infants cannot recognize that they have sin. Infants cannot recognize that they need Jesus. Infants cannot repent. In fact, babies, they don't know. We're all born with a sinful nature. We got it through Adam and Eve. It came into our bloodline. We were born with original sin. But babies don't know their sin. And your baby's not going to say to you, Mom and Dad, I'm sorry that I woke you up at 2 a.m. because I was selfish and sinful and I didn't want to eat and I did not respect your sleep. No, that will never happen. Nor could I get all the infants out of the nursery this morning and set them up in the front row and preach a gospel message to them and say, repent, you infants, for the kingdom of God is at hand. There will be no repentance. There will be no hands raised. They'll throw pacifiers at me. They'll whine. They might do other things that I don't want to mention in church. But if you think that that would be weird for me to do that, you're on the right track. Because infants can't repent. And so listen to me, this morning there is no scriptural record anywhere of an infant being baptized in water. In fact, Jesus himself was in his 30s when he began his ministry and he was baptized as an adult by John, our prototype, Jesus Christ. You see, it's a believer's baptism that the Bible teaches. It's a belief. You have to believe in order to be baptized. If you're not a believer in Christ, if you haven't given yourself to him, if you haven't repented of sin, no matter what your age, water baptism does not work. So there are four things that water baptism is not. Let me give you four things that water baptism is. Now that we know what it isn't, let's find out what the Bible says it is. Number one, water baptism is a commanded function of the church. You see, we don't just baptize people around here because we like it. It's something that we do. You know, we're down with the baptism. We like it. We got a tank. And so, you know, no, we don't just do it because, you know, well, that's our tradition here. And, you know, that's what we do religiously. No, we don't just water baptize people because we do it. You know, well, we're Baptists, so we have to baptize people, or we're Bapticostals or whatever our denomination is. No, we do it because the Bible says we are supposed to. As the Church of Jesus Christ, you say, where does it say that? I am so glad you asked. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, talking to his own here. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Listen to verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus is talking about the church age here. And in the church age that we're in right now, we are to make converts, make disciples, and we are to baptize them. Not because it's our tradition, not because it's religious, not because it's something that we like and we want to do, because the Lord told us it is part of what the church is to do in the earth till he returns. Number two, the second thing water baptism is this. Water baptism is the first step of obedience. The first step of obedience. When I say obedience, it gets really quiet. But first steps are precious. You know, there's not a mother in here who can't remember being excited about their children's first steps. Do you remember when and we got video cameras now, and people, you know, you videotape it, you save their shoes, you bronze them, I don't know. First steps are precious. And you think, oh, look at them going, and they're wobbling, and they're taking, and you think you're all excited about it, and you don't realize now you got to lock stuff up. It was easier when they couldn't move, when they were stationary. For the men, it was easier when they were inside mommy's belly. That was as easy as it got. But first steps are precious. They're not only precious to us as earthly parents, they're precious to our Father in heaven. Our first steps as believers, our first steps as those who come to Christ are precious to the Lord. And the first step of obedience that we take is water baptism. The Bible says to repent, to believe, and number two, the second thing we do is to be water baptized. That's the first step of obedience you take after salvation. You see, we've got to understand God does have an order. He does have a way that he structures things. And though it's not legalistic and sometimes things may work a little bit out of order or they go in different orders, the Bible says, repent, be baptized, and you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people repent, they get filled with the Holy Spirit, then they get baptized later on. It works in different ways, but there is a structure, there is an order. And listen to me, when we are obedient, it releases a blessing in our life. You say, well, I don't want to be obedient. That's embarrassing. I don't want to get in water. Pastor, I don't look good wet. I don't want to get in there in front of people and it's humbling and it's humiliating. Listen to me. It's obedience. Obedience is the greatest thing we can do because there is a blessing attached to obedience. When we are obedient, God says, there's someone I can bless. And he releases a blessing that was attached to that obedience. Some of us have accepted Christ, but we've refused to be water baptized. We make excuses. Well, we did it when we were a baby. We don't want to go in front of people. Well, God knows my heart. Listen to me. There is no substitution for obedience. You need to do it. It's a believer's baptism. If you've believed, the next step is water baptism. Jesus said in John 14, 15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. We say, oh Lord, I love you. Oh Lord, I love you. Get water baptized. No, Lord, can we do something else? I love you so much, Lord. Prove it. Be obedient. Be baptized in water. Number three, the third thing water baptism is this. It's our identification with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. You see, theologically, what's happening to us when we go into the waters of baptism is that we are identifying with Jesus. The climax of Jesus' life and ministry was this, that he was crucified on the cross, that he was put in a tomb, and that he rose from that tomb because death and the grave could not hold him and that he's alive forevermore. Someone say amen. I mean, if you didn't get excited about that, we need to stop preaching about water baptism and get some people saved this morning. Amen. Some of you have been saved so long, you hear about the resurrection and you... He died. He rose. The grave couldn't hold him. He broke the back of sin. We're here this morning because of what he did. The tomb could not hold him this morning. You say, what is water baptism? It's absolutely us identifying with him in his death, burial, and resurrection. When you go under the waters of baptism, that is symbolic of death. You say, how is that? Listen to me. If you don't understand that your flesh needs air to live, we'll hold you under long enough till you realize that. Amen. Within just a few seconds under there, your flesh will be screaming, air! You see, going under the water, that's symbolic of death. Coming out of the water, symbolic of resurrection, coming up in that resurrection power. Amen. We carry our cross to the waters of baptism. We crucify the flesh and we die to our sin in that water and we come out resurrected in newness of life with resurrection power. Man, that's a good place to get excited this morning. Do you want power in your life? Do you want power to live differently? Do you want power to preach the gospel? Power to carry the anointing? Power to change lives? It comes through obedience. It comes through the waters of baptism. You see, us identifying with Jesus should be natural. If we love him, we want to be like him. We are called Christians. That means we are the image of Christ. You know, Peter refused to identify with Jesus. At one point, when they said, hey, aren't you one of his? I don't know him. Weren't you with him? Your accent gives you away. I don't know this man. I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. Three times Peter refused to be identified with Jesus. And look at the turmoil that brought to his life. When Jesus was resurrected, he had to go get Peter personally. Why? Because he spun out of control off. Because he wouldn't identify with Christ. This morning, if you love him, this morning, if he saved you, identify with him. Go into the waters of baptism, put an end to the old nature, and receive resurrection power in your life. Listen to Romans 6, 1 through 5. This is so powerful. Please hear the words of the Apostle Paul today. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may abound? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Listen, or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. Wow. Where are we united? In the waters of baptism. Where do we identify with his death, burial, and resurrection? In the waters of baptism. Jesus, we were baptized into his death. We were buried with him through baptism. I encourage you, take a look at Romans 6, 1 through 5. Study that scripture. Let it get into your spirit. If you're considering being water baptized, in fact, I even feel uncomfortable saying considering. If you've accepted Christ and you haven't been water baptized, don't consider it. Just do it. Be obedient this morning. But read that scripture and understand what is about to happen when we're obedient in this way. Number four, the fourth thing that water baptism is, and I'll conclude with this morning. It is a release from the old nature. A release. Now, remember I said you're not going to be sinless. You're not going to be perfect. We'll still sin. We'll still mess up. But our nature is going to be different. You see, there's one thing to slip up once in a while. There's one thing to deal with sneaky little subtle sins. But it's another thing to have a different nature. Before we met Christ, all we could do was sin. Come on. Don't look at me like that again. We were good at it. Some of us were, black belt level sinners. We had it down. But when you come to Christ, that old nature is dealt with. And listen to me, you don't want to do that anymore. Come on, when we come to Christ, there's places we don't want to go anymore. There's things we don't want to do anymore. There's chemicals we don't need to put in our bodies anymore. Come on, someone this morning. There are people we don't want to hang out with. We don't want to go because we're free from that. And we don't need it anymore. We don't need to numb ourselves because there's a hole in our hearts. God filled our hearts. The waters of baptism release us from the old nature. Remember, I read to you Acts 2:38, and it says something interesting in there, in that scripture. It says this, repent each of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness or the remission of your sins. When we go into the waters of baptism, God is drawing a line on our past and releasing us from all the sin of our past. You know, the Bible says the wages of sin are death, and that when we sin, it releases consequences into our lives. You say, well, there is a lot of sin in my life, but when I came to Jesus, he drew a line. When you go into the waters of baptism, we are released from the old nature. Water baptism deals with our old habits, our old sinful patterns, and our own nature. It releases us from the sins of the past. Though we won't be sinless until we're delivered from this body of sin and we see Jesus face to face, we will get a new nature, a fresh start, a clean slate. Amen. Romans 6, 4 through 7 says this, and I include it again. There again, recapping a little bit of what Paul said. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Amen. There's a new life right there. Verse 5, for if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Listen to verse 6. Knowing this, that our old self, Paul says the old man, was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. He who has died is free from sin. Amen. Amen this morning. Water baptism is an opportunity to get free of the old nature. Now this morning, if you've never accepted Christ, if you've never surrendered yourself to him, it's the only prerequisite to water baptism. I'm going to give you that opportunity in just a moment. You can accept him and you can sign up in the foyer and we're going to water baptize folks. It's going to be glorious. I'm telling you, we're going to have so many people. It's going to be a powerful event. You don't want to miss it. This morning, maybe you were baptized. Maybe you were baptized as a baby. Maybe you were baptized and you walked away from the Lord. Maybe the Holy Spirit's just tugging on your heart saying, you need to do it again. Do your first works, and I'm going to release a blessing in your life. My son Riley signed up for water baptism, and he already got water baptized. And so we asked him, Riley, we said, why'd you sign up again? You know, you want to make sure kids understand what they're doing. And he said, well, I felt that the Lord wanted me to do that, and that's between me and God. So I said, okay. Amen. That's the right answer. Amen. He said, I feel like I need to do it. That's the answer Pastor Dad was looking for. Not because, man, I like the water and I want to get sweat and I'm going to wear my swim fins. No. But that God tugged on his heart. The Bible doesn't say once per customer. If you need to do it, if the Holy Spirit's tugging, don't be shy. Don't be embarrassed. Don't say, what are people going to think about me? Maybe I'll get baptized too, just so nobody feels guilty. Amen. Because you know what? It's a great place to draw a line for a new beginning, no matter how long we've been walking with him. We could say, you know what, today I recommit myself all over again, amen? But married people do their vows over again. We're going to be married for 20 years this year. Maybe we'll redo our vows, amen? I mean, it's just a beautiful thing to do. So this morning I encourage you, let's bow our heads. If you've never given yourself to Christ, what a glorious moment this is for you. This is your day of destiny. From this moment forward, your life can be different than it ever was. You say, if I accept Jesus, what'll happen? Some awesome things will happen. Number one, he'll forgive all your sin and he will cleanse you by his blood and make your life different so that you can have a relationship with Father God. You see, our sin separates us from God, but Jesus died so that he could forgive and cleanse us of our sin so we could have a relationship with God once again. That will happen if you accept Jesus as your Savior. What else? You'll be freed from sin. He'll give you a clean slate, a fresh start, a new beginning. He'll also fill you with the Holy Spirit to give you the power to live a different life. You say, I've tried everything. I've tried to be good. I've tried to be different. I've tried to change. It works for a little while and then I go back. We can't do it ourselves, but with the Holy Spirit in us, we can live different lives. All of that's available to anyone who will say, Jesus, I believe you died for me. I receive you as my Savior. Forgive my sins and be my Lord. Today, if you want to do that without a moment's hesitation, I want you to lift up your hand. How many people want Jesus to be the Lord of your life? There's a hand going up there. God bless you. How many? There's a hand. God bless you, sir. Keep your hands up. The ushers are going to put a pack in your hand. If you want Jesus to be the Lord of your life, God bless you today. Praise God. Let's pray a prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. I confess that I'm a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give me the power to live a different life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give him praise this morning. Amen, 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 amen. If you raise your hand this morning, I want to welcome you to the family of God, and I want to encourage you, your next step of obedience, your first step, is to be baptized in water. If you'll do it, God will release a blessing in your life, and there'll come even more changes. So be blessed this morning. Let's just one more time thank God for his word this morning. We love you, Jesus, and thank you for the word. Amen. Praise God.